We learned this week it may be better to get smart than to get mad about crime in America.
We have to determine who's bad and who we're simply mad at. And the ones we're simply mad at, it's maybe time to find another alternative for them. And that would mean the nonviolent offenders, of course.
That's Rick Ramish, the executive director of the Colorado Department of Corrections, who told us that a huge number of people in prison simply don't need to be there. He also said that reducing the use of solitary confinement in prisons generally lowers the tension level. He was part of a group of 130 current and former police chiefs, federal and state prosecutors, and attorneys general calling for a reduction in incarceration. They met with President Obama yesterday at the White House, where he urged all law enforcement leaders to rethink sentencing for low-risk offenders and people charged with drug crimes. The president elaborated on his rationale for releasing thousands of such offenders, 6,000 or so later this month, and declared that he wanted broad agreement to make sentencing more rational.
I think there's a strong consensus in the United States of America that you shouldn't be hit over the head when you're walking down the street, that you don't want somebody breaking into your house and threatening your family, that somebody who commits violence, we don't have a lot of tolerance for. I would distinguish between those situations and whether or not giving somebody who's 25 years old a 40-year sentence versus a 15-year sentence is the smart thing to do, particularly because we know that young people do stupid stuff, and as they get older, they get a little less stupid.
The president said that his push for reform represents a big change, but admitted it had to be in small steps to be successful.
I think it's smart for us to start the debate around nonviolent drug offenders. You are right that that's not going to suddenly halve our incarceration rate, but if we do that right, and we are reinvesting in treatment, and we are reinvesting resources in police departments having more guys and gals on the street who are engaging in community policing, and that's improving community relations, then that becomes the foundation upon which the public has confidence in potentially taking a future step and looking at sentencing changes down the road.
More than 2,000 of the 6,000 prisoners set to be released later this month are from Texas, the highest number for any state. Sheriff A.J. Lauterbach of Jackson County in southeast Texas did not meet with the president this week and has been openly critical of the prisoner release, which he has called a federally sponsored prison break.
We in law enforcement, you know, we're left to deal with decisions made by politicians in Washington. And that's where, you know, we're going to do that. We accept that burden. We accept that challenge. Whether or not it's the right thing to do, society, I think, will pay a price. I don't think that you can let out 46,000 felons into society and not expect a crime increase. That doesn't make sense.
You refer to these people as felons. If they have served their time, don't they have the opportunity to come back to society and not be considered forever, you know, lawbreakers? It sounds like you've categorized them in a way that they're never going to get out of that box in your mind.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think their actions and the things that they have done in their life do brand them to some extent that's not going to go away.
A.J. Lauterbach is the sheriff of Jackson County in Texas. Just as Sheriff Lauterbach insisted that felons need to earn their way back into their communities, President Obama also insisted that all this reform pivots on the possibility for redemption. He defended the Black Lives Matter movement and noted the risks police officers take and said understanding both was the path to tolerance and redemption.
Everybody understands all lives matter. Everybody wants strong, effective law enforcement. Everybody wants their kids to be safe when they're walking to school. Nobody wants to see police officers who are doing their job fairly hurt. Everybody understands it's a dangerous job. I think the reason that the organizers used the phrase Black Lives Matters was not because they said they were suggesting nobody else's lives matter. Rather, what they were suggesting was there is a specific problem that is happening in the African-American community that's not happening in other communities. And that is a legitimate issue that we've got to address. I think it's important for those who are concerned about that to back it up with data, not anecdote, to not paint with a broad brush, to understand the overwhelming majority of law enforcement's doing the right thing and wants to do the right thing, to recognize that police officers have a really tough job and we're sending them into really tough neighborhoods that sometimes are really dangerous, and they've got to make split-second decisions. And so we shouldn't be too sanctimonious about situations that sometimes can be ambiguous. But having said all that, we as a society, particularly given our history, have to take this seriously.
Next week, we'll continue our examination of the release of thousands of federal prisoners around the country, a move that gets to the core of the issues surrounding this moment of criminal justice reform. But first, we asked you a fundamental question. Does prison work? And if not, what needs to change? Jacksonville, Florida. No, our current system focuses on punishment. So if you are taking broken people and shattering any chance they have of being productive members in our society, instead we should be setting them up for rehabilitating, school, counseling. When they do get out, they have nothing but a record, very limited job opportunities, unable to rent an apartment. Nonviolent offenders need more options, not more punishment. We as a society throw too many of our youth away, and the loss to our society is immeasurable.
This is Sherry from Georgia. I think that we need to focus more on mental health aspect of decriminalization of some drug issues, because there are a lot of people who really need mental health treatment who are only self-medicating, and it leads them to end up in the criminal system.
This is Justin calling from Salt Lake City, Utah, and I don't think that it's enough just to pardon or to commute any of the sentences for the nonviolent drug offenders, but I think that their records need to be completely expunged. It's really difficult for those people to find employment after they leave work, and it continues to have a negative impact for them for the rest of their life.
North Carolina. Prison is still built on a pre-scientific concept of free will and the idea that some people are intrinsically bad. Ryan Roach on Facebook is a bit more cynical. He's responding to a call from law enforcement officials to reform sentencing and end mass incarceration. This is like letting Wall Street write the rules on finance reform. We all know how great that turned out. Don't forget, these are not the victims of a criminal justice system run amok. These are the very same people who have built careers knowingly pushing the mass incarceration agenda onto the public and onto our legislators. Join the conversation, 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's our number. Much more at thetakeaway.org. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.